interviewing Kitty Rutenberg on October the 23rd, 1985, at her home at the Atrium in Oakland. I'm doing this for Pittsburgh section of National Council of Jewish Women, the Oral History Project. Kitty, tell me where you were born and when you were born.
Well, first of all, I'll tell you that the date I'm sure of, I'm absolutely sure of, I'm 71, I was born in 1914. I just got off the road because I was there. I was born in Budapest. My parents have been several generations Hungarian. I don't know from where they originated, but they speak that. The family was, the family was certainly not religious in the sense that we know the word, maybe a-religious, meaning, by this I mean that we were nearly assimilated.
Did you have any affiliation with the Jewish community?
Well, synagogue affiliation is altogether a different format than it is in America. European synagogues are state supported, where they are even more so now, and you don't belong to a particular synagogue of your neighborhood or anything like that. But what I do remember from my childhood was that my mother always took me to high holy day services in the big synagogue where few of their heads were lost.
Wow.
My father came from a strain of ancestors, antecedents, and ancestors who were less and less religious. In fact, by the time his generation came along, his brothers and sisters became a-religious, not un-Jewish or
it was secularist.
Secularists, yes. They had all the proper training as children through Bar Mitzvah, and after that they were on their own as far as their religious meanings were concerned. And putting this into context, you must realize that there were certain pockets of European cultures where, and Herzl was a good example, where the time, general the time required of certain ones, especially those who had higher education. If they were, to begin with, very orthodox, they were leaning towards not being religious in the sense that you understand the word. Well, that's not the all I'm asking of, except that it has something to do with how I became religious, quote unquote.
What is
I was an only child.
You were?
Yeah, we were always an only child.
Were you surrounded by aunts, uncles,
not too many. My mother had one sister and a brother. The sister, brother-in-law perished in Auschwitz, eventually. Her brother died during the war, Second World War. My father's siblings were in various other parts of the old Austro-Hungarian Empire, and became Czechs and Romanian and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how all my Hungarian relatives in Israel, no matter from what country they are Hungarian.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I had no
extended family.
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that carried through my life, because now that I have four children, I very much treasure in-law family relationships.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a gymnasium activity. The local small town didn't allow for any higher education, went to a gymnasium in a larger city, and went to Budapest to attend the university from which he graduated as an electrical engineer in 1898. years after the born born. And now it seems that three of my three sons today are fighting for the privilege of inheriting his diploma. My mother also had some form of a higher education beyond high school, but it was in terms of like a finishing school.
Mm-hmm.
I left, my father came to this country in 1924, probably as the very last person on a boat from, I guess, Cherbourg, who could come in under the old
immigration. What, on the
canner? No, that was sometime before that. In 1924, it became effective when immigration was drastically.
So then he served in the Hungarian Army?
Yes, he
during
became
the
a lieutenant.
World War.
That's right. And I have several artifacts of that period. At the time he came, it was already so immigration laws were so restrictive, and he could pass by only because of his university degree.
So he came ahead first without your...
My mother and I came in 27, 3 years later, because it took that long to have all of that tape in order, both on the American side and receiving a proper
Before we leave Hungary now, as a child, you were born in 1914, do you have any recollection at all of any anti-Semitism and the question I really want to ask is, why did your father leave? Why did you come out of this country?
A very apropos question. He had been in America before, he saw the advantages of living in this country. He also saw the, I really give him credit for foreseeing the immediate future ahead of him in the early 1920s, because he had just about that time we had been through a revolution there, you know, communist and fascist and so forth, and he saw pretty much the dangers or the risks he would be taking, both for himself and the family, if he didn't pick up and go where he started. He just functioned very well and grew up with a family. I think that's about the aspect of the living. I had a very
good remember Hungary was
nostalgia?
Yes. Do you remember the nice part?
Well, now more than I did for, let's say, 5 decades. Maybe 3.5 or 4 decades, because after that we began, Harold and I began to make return trips. And the original trip that we had made back to Budapest was really on his account, not that I had any great desire to return. I remembered all the good things, and there were no bad things to remember. As a child who would be living in sheltered circumstances, I had nothing unhappy or even in a political sense or anti-Semitism sense. But I was aware of the fact that there were such tendencies there. For instance, I was very well aware of the fact that I was admitted to the gymnasium, that was at the age of 10. Not because of my good grades alone, or good prerequisites for entering, but because my father was a classmate of the director. The anti-Semitic regulations were enforced by them. And they were not really as severe as they had become later, in the 30s, but they were enough of a signal for all of us to agree that this may be a good idea to go to Pittsburgh.
Did your father come directly to Pittsburgh, or did he go to New York?
He found some ads in New York while he was staying with his brother. Avenue, Westinghouse, and I might add that nearly all big companies, technical and technological nature, were looking for engineers at that time. That's a whole different story. You don't go into Jeff Honda, Wargonian, MIT, and Carnegie Tech was really not the territory university level school that became later. And European engineers were very, very welcome. So my father came, answered the ad, and there he was for the rest of his working life.
So you directly came to Pittsburgh,
yes.
And how did you acclimate yourself with the language barrier immediately? Did you learn English in Hungary?
No,
Because
well, emotionally, yes.
Because it says to you, the fourth
right.
Muscle for set, Kissinger came at 12 and can't master the
thank you for the compliment. But at the time in 1927, by the way, I was floating over in this direction while Lindbergh was flying over there. I can never forget the year. All right. My father didn't know any differently, and I didn't have the knowledge and information of how to treat English as a second language or how to learn another language when you're in the culture. And so we just assumed I'd go right on, language or no language.
Mm-hmm.
And I was admitted to my proper grade. And I just had to learn as I went along. There was a lot of help from a teacher and the teacher and my father. My mother was in the same disadvantageous position
mm-hmm.
as I was, but we tried to learn together, and radio was a big help. There were many moments of utter frustration.
But you did well in school. I read your book, and you did very well.
I did very well. I gained a scholarship out of it, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the scholarship was too brilliant. It would have been a disaster. I didn't accept it.
Wilmington?
No, New Wilmington. I'd rather watch the school. I would have been miserable. Anyway, so 5 years later, I was the valedictorian. They were incredible.
What high school was this?
Wilkinsburg. All the Westinghouse engineers lived in Wilkinsburg. It was the nearest acceptable place to live.
Now, then you went to Pitt, and you met Harold right away.
Probably my second year.
And how did you...
He was 1 year ahead of me.
How did you meet him? What were the circumstances? Now,
we happened to be in the same history class. And it was just kind of an accident. It was probably his version, I have to accept it. He aimed at a little paper start or something on that thing.
In college.
Up front. And it hit me, I turned around instead of the girl he was aiming at, like that.
Uh-huh.
But we were interested in the same kinds of things on campus. Please remember the fifth year. Well, I started in 32, and times were rough, and the handwriting was on the wall, and Roosevelt was about to come in, and those of us who had any feeling or inclination towards social justice and betterment of society, those were the years when many of our classmates went all the way and became communist cell members. Fortunately, we were smart enough to avoid that trap, but we were interested in social questions and our friendship.
At this point, had you any interest in art, because that's where your great contributions to Pittsburgh?
Yes. Well, my whole background, of translated to us. I did get a tracking loop of that earlier, but now that you ask. I was given every single aspect of what a
proper
young lady. I hate to use terminology like that.
Or
class, all right, let's put it in quotes. Well established or not altogether affluent, but in well, good circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And with the educational background of my parents and the circles we lived in, it just seemed that it was a natural. I was exposed to opera and music and art and everything else that came along. So, I mean, just.
Right. Now, when you came over to this place, you were fortunate in that your mother was able to bring a lot of her.
Yes, she brought so many artifacts and treasures and some art and some rugs and so on. Arriving in Pittsburgh in 1927 was not exactly the ultimate in one. In one's cultural aspirations.
Right.
We were in the hinterland, you remember. You don't remember, you're much too young. But, you know, from the development of the city, where we have come to, well, there was a point from where we came, and this is where I entered. However, what there was, we were very lucky to.
Well, that's a very important point now. What are the differences that you have seen over your lifetime? What was this? Because we have no idea what Pittsburgh was like in 1927 as opposed to 1985.
Well, I don't know if I remember any farther back, but hearing Menuhin in short pants and hearing Paderewski play the piano on his revolving piano stool and things like that, is that how far I
But the city itself was not.
It wasn't beautiful. It was.
It was a mill town.
Oh,
right?
A mill town, an overgrown mill town. I mean, maybe it was the capital of all the little mill towns around. And this is where the headquarters of whatever culture is emanated from, if wherever it went. It was here, but it was limited. All right, there was another sad, distressing aspect of life for us, is that the city was footwork. And this affected our daily lives. And it made my mother miserable.
How did it affect her?
There was no household help. And the dirt that accumulated on husband's collar or front or my clothes or shirts and blouses or tablecloths, and she was still foolish enough to use tablecloths. You know, they were linen too. She had to iron them. I think that she brought over. It was not a very good beginning for a train of thought that would say, oh, I just love it here. It wasn't like that. There were many sides of depression.
Mm-hmm.
But she threw over, well, I say, I quote my mother, because as a child I had other ideas. But in the home it was like this. Everything that's potentially good is around us. We live in it.
Mm-hmm.
Things that aren't all that pleasant, still we have enough to remember, to recall from past living. And so a lot of things can become a lot better. And at that time, one's immediate concern was for the economic, for the materialistic, to get on and make something out of it so that. Of course, my mother had ideas. The first $5,000 we would have, she'd go back and buy the building in which we lived. She soon overcame that and became a real patriot. And of course, I wanted to know more than one.
You mean she'd go back to Hungary and buy the building?
Of course.
Oh, she had plans to return?
Not she herself, the family.
Oh, I see.
Return and then we'd live on and on and on. However, times. History overrode her ideas, and my father wasn't all that nice, but then he didn't have to struggle with the dirt.
He got more of a check. He didn't have to wash it out of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he did see other future for all of us.
So then did you become part of the Jewish community in Pittsburgh?
No, we didn't. I may have to death, regretfully. But no, because we didn't have that bridge, the Jewishness of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
was a private matter. And since we weren't all that, well, I speak for my parents because I didn't make any such decision, obviously. Since life was so different here, and of course in Brooklyn, where it was like day and night, even at that time between it and Squirrel Hill. So we just played it cool and didn't affiliate or associate or become a part of, participate in anything Jewish because it was in Pittsburgh. We were so far away from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even funny.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you don't remember, I'm telling you, you recall with me that the bridge over Frick Park,
mm-hmm.
where the traffic is broken for years, or anyway. And that whole area where the cemetery was not paved. The streets are going across on the track.
Yes.
And of course, cars, automobiles. But it was a whole different world. Now, if we had started in Squirrel Hill, I'd be Jewishly oriented from the age of 13.
Mm-hmm.
In Wilkinsburg, we were in a social circle of friends and friends who became friends after the game, you know, anyone. But fellow engineers of my father's. And since then we met others and so on. We were all Jewish, but they all lived there because that was a thing to do.
You had Jewish friends?
Yes.
And did your parents ever say anything to you about...
But they were as un-Jewishly minded as we were.
Right. Okay. Did they ever say anything to you about dating only Jewish boys?
No. Most of my father's associates, fellow engineers, were either his age or younger. There weren't too many youngsters or children in the group. There was also the question that was a matter to consider for us privately as to how to proceed with our Jewishness, if it were indeed a question.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that in those days there indeed was, now you know from history, but we can tell you that there was a good deal of anti-Semitism in this country, or in this region, or especially in Wilkinsburg.
What's known as the city churches.
Indeed, yes, definitely. In Wilkinsburg, it was a crime to be a foreigner, not only to be Jewish, but to be anything other than Anglo-Saxon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else can I say about the threatening aspect of pursuing actively a Jewish life? Privately, we did. Not so much in the observation of certain holidays, and those we took more or less in our stride. On High Holy Days, my mother and I went to the Rosh Hashanah, the overflow of which was in Carnegie Hall. Which reminds me of an interesting thing that shocked us all. The parking area now that's built in, even then it was a parking area. And all around, everybody could see, full of cars. Now, that wasn't the Jewish definition of going to High Holy Day services, as my mother or father knew. So we wrote back letters and sent back photographs.
all this parking just to attend
was the
services at Carnegie Music Hall.
Was the surprise that people rode rather than walked, or that so many people came and you had so many cars?
I don't think we paid attention to the fact that so many came. Just we learned that there were so many Jews. There was a good Jewish community here. But that everybody came by car, I think there were two, now that you remind me, two parts to this observation of ours. That they drove by car,
uh-huh.
and that so many, that everybody had a car to drive in.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
let's say,
these were the early years.
Did you get, forgive me, because, please, if I may, did you feel comfortable as foreign-born Jews? Going to Road of Shalom, I mean, were you comfortable in the congregation?
Yes, that agreed with our concept of what the Jewish service should be. Because if we were Jewish at all, we would have been liberated or enlightened or reformed or whatever term you want to ascribe to that state of mind.
And you were comfortable going to services there? And
yes.
And did you meet friends at all?
No.
No.
None of our friends were looking for things.
No. None of your friends.
Well, during this time, then, did you have any...
Excuse me for interrupting you, but I'll finish this particular question about that part. Is that perhaps these people were weak to begin with. Perhaps they saw already enough anti-Semitism in Budapest when they were student riots or whatever way it affected them. The late teens and the early 20s. That in addition to that, there should be anti-Semitism here for shopping realization. And it scared them, it threatened them, and perhaps they, meaning all of this purple that I'm speaking of, were saying to ourselves,
what did we come here for?
Yes, this doesn't agree with our original concept of how we're going to be in a country where we weren't romanticizing it or idealizing it. We didn't come because we have to come. Not in our own way of looking at it, nor by way of correct terminology. We're the refugees.
Mm-hmm.
We came of our own free will, proper documents, no war, no persecution, no Cossack, no none of those things that you associate with earlier immigrations from Poland and Russia. We were living in a very enlightened, free country. But that we found overtones or actual incidents of anti-Semitism was a sad sacrifice for us. We wanted to find another apartment, for instance. Our accent or questions asking, are you Jewish? Or something like that would bring alive certain touchy feelings on our part that we weren't really we weren't expecting, and we were leaving all that behind, even though it didn't touch us and didn't make life miserable. We had a very good life, but we were aware of them. So partly weakness, partly pragmatism, I don't know what you call it, but the simple answer to your question, how do we show you at the beginning, we were not. Right.
Were you instrumental in bringing over other people who were still in hungry? Did you have contact?
No, at that time not, because, in fact, they were sorry for us.
That you left?
Not only that we left, that we were living in such circumscribed conditions, no maid, none of the quote good life that we were used
to.
We didn't have a grand piano.
We bought secondhand furniture. Mm-hmm. The salary of a Westinghouse engineer, to begin with, was not. We were not in business and not in the legal or medical profession where you could have gone on, as history shows, when you study the present Jewish community, in terms of our generation, perhaps parents' generation. If you weren't any of one of those, your standards were set.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, the girlfriends I left behind were skiing in the Alps. If I got beyond Swiss Vale, it was a big trip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were your parents happy together?
Yes.
Did this cause any tension or
My mother thought it was a terrible move to have made, and my father was responsible for being up there. Where is this going to end? But these were the first few years.
Yes.
Until she found herself.
Mm-hmm.
Language, friends, activities, and so on. But